we resume our scheduled program. The Life of the World, the Story of the Bible, an eternal beacon lighting man's way through the darkness of time. Brought to you by General Mills. You know, now that the invasion is actually underway, I don't believe there's one of us who doesn't feel a deep personal obligation to every man on the invasion front. We all feel that nothing is too much for us to do to back up our men, that nothing we could do could even compare with what they're doing for us. Well, there are many things we can do, but one thing we must do right away is put every dollar we don't absolutely have to use for food and rent and doctor's bills into war bonds. Yes, we must give our men our all-out financial support right away. For the greater the battle, the greater their need of our money for equipment. And right now, they're engaged in the greatest battle in our history. The greatest battle in the history of the world, actually. Yes, whatever we do, we must all dig deep into our pockets and our savings accounts and put every dollar we can possibly spare into war bonds right away. It's now or never. We all realize that. It's get behind our fighting men now with everything we've got or let them down when they need us most. And there's not one of us who could bear to do that.
On this critical day in our history, our thoughts are with our valiant men who stormed the fortress of Europe. And our hearts are united in a single prayer, the prayer that God will watch over the men we love, granting the victory for which they fight and the lasting peace which victory will bring. In the belief that the lessons on the pages of the Holy Bible will bring comfort and inspiration during this time of conflict and of crisis, we put aside today our story of Jezebel's daughter Athaliah to recall some of the immortal stories of man's faith in God and of God's mercy and goodness. We ask you to turn back with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass that God said unto Abraham, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took Isaac his son and went into a place of which God had told him.
Father, may I help you?
It's all ready now, my son.
Oh, but you said you always sacrifice the lamb. Don't you want me to go down to the plains? I'm sure I could find a lamb down there, Father.
No, Isaac. Not today, my son.
I'm sorry, Father. I shouldn't be impatient. God will provide a lamb, won't he? I guess you'll scold me for not having faith.
No, Isaac, I'm not going to scold you today.
I was so pleased when you asked me to come here with you to worship, but I guess I've asked so many questions you'll never want to bring me again.
Isaac, my son, don't talk about the future. You've been a good boy. You've always been a comfort to me. I had hoped to see the day when you'd be married and have sons.
Father, you're so sad and different today. You speak as if you didn't think you'd live much longer.
Please, Isaac.
Oh, no, no, Father. I couldn't bear that. I don't want anything to happen to you, not ever.
It is not my time to go yet. I am sad today. I think God understands why and will forgive me. Now, my son, Isaac, will you pray to God?
What shall I say, Father?
Give thanks for his mercy and goodness to you and to all men. Tell him what is in your heart, my boy.
Dear God, I thank you for your kindness and mercy and goodness to me. And I want to thank you before all else for my father and mother. Please, God, take care of them.
Oh, merciful God, I hereby dedicate to you. I dedicate my only son.
Father.
Wait, my son, wait. Don't speak. I thank thee, O God. You have sent a ram into the wilderness for the sacrifice. It is not to be my son. Come, my son, let us kneel down here together before the altar and pray. For God is indeed merciful and good.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven, and he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.
The
The story of the Bible is the story of the conflict between the forces of good and evil. Hitler is not the first pagan tyrant who has declared himself greater than God, commanding all men to serve him as slaves. At this time of invasion, when God-fearing men march resolutely against the forces of darkness, it is comforting to remember that evil has never triumphed, that might has never made right. 3,000 years ago, another pagan tyrant believed in his vanity that he and the people of his nation would be masters of the world. Menephtah, Pharaoh of Egypt, had enslaved thousands of God-fearing men and women. And as the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage." The descendants of Jacob endured unspeakable suffering in Egypt, for a madman ruled, a madman who stirred his people to insatiable lust and violence by his words of hate.
I have a message today for all Egyptians. Our civilization is the greatest in the history of the world. Our public works will remain as lasting memorials of my genius and of this age in which we live. There is only one blot on our grandeur. It is these miserable foreigners among us. Egypt is a land for pure-blooded Egyptians only. These foreigners wake as slaves, building my temples and the great wall. They're beaten without mercy, and yet they still refuse to worship our gods. The gods of Egypt are the only gods in the world. It is a disgrace to every pure-blooded Egyptian that we cannot force these foreigners to worship our gods. And I say to you that they must be wiped off the face of the earth. They must be killed. I command you, my loyal Egyptians, to kill them without mercy. Those are my orders. Kill! Kill!
Kill! And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. Their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." In the land of Midian, Moses followed the sound, which he alone of all men on earth could hear. Lord God of Abraham, I know you are near me tonight, guiding my footsteps. I know that this mountain shall be called Horeb. It is the mountain of God. There is fire. Midst of the bush. And yet, the bush is unharmed. Now Moses came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And when the Lord saw that, Moses turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." "I am here, O Lord God. I am here." And the Lord said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Armed with the miracle of his faith, Moses followed the command of God and returned to Egypt to free his people from the bondage of the Egyptians. It was not an easy task, but through the ages, the story of the Exodus has been an inspiration to the enslaved people of the world. There were dark years filled with suffering and hardships ahead of them, but the people who had followed Moses into the land of Canaan were courageous. And though many of them faltered, there was always a man whose faith was strong. A man who kept the flame of faith and courage and hope burning through the darkness of the centuries. Until at last a great and free nation was built. A nation of God-fearing people ruled with justice and mercy by David, the shepherd king of Israel. Down through the ages, the Psalms of David had comforted and inspired all men and women in hours of trial and suffering. And today, as in other periods of the world's history, the words of the Shepherd King return to us. The words of unwavering courage and undying faith.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Us today, the words of the 23rd Psalm have a special meaning. A promise that the forces of evil will be crushed. A promise that the word freedom, which has nearly lost all meaning in these dark years of Nazi persecution, is alive and real again. Freedom lives today because soldiers of the United Nations, armed with powerful weapons, and with the knowledge that their cause is just, are marching surely and inevitably to victory. And as they advance on this first day of invasion, our prayers go with them. And out of the past comes the echo of David's unwavering faith in God.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now, with the invasion so much on our minds, naturally, we're all talking about it. It's the most important thing in our lives. But please, when we talk, let's remember this. Careless talk costs lives. Our enemy is clever. He hopes we aren't. He hopes we'll tell in a bus or a restaurant or to someone who'll repeat it some little piece of information he wants. He hopes we'll talk about our letters from men in the service and repeat what they said. And those of us who are in war work, yes, he hopes we'll let out some of the things we know about our work. Well, let's fool him, please. The enemy has big ears. He hopes we have big mouths. Let's show him he's wrong. Let's think before we speak. Let's remember that careless talk costs lives.
Today's story of the Bible, currently the story of Jezebel's daughter Athaliah from the second book of Chronicles, will be continued tomorrow at this same time. This is Ted Campbell inviting you to be with us then. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.